Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, mom, and tell me what he's been to you.
Hi, this is Pastor Arthur LaValle with Kingdom Life Fellowship Community Ministry, welcoming you to another opportunity to transform your life. Did you know that you possess the power and the responsibility to determine your future and destiny? Did you know that you are the sum total of the choices and decisions you make every day? However, the ability for you to make the right decisions for a life that will lead to your God-given destiny depends on your quality of knowledge. Self-development demands self-discipline. It is our desire to see your life transformed by the messages on these broadcasts. Prepare to receive as we join this opportunity to grow and expand, as we inspire you and motivate you to achieve your greatest in God's purpose for your life. Sit back now and listen to a message that is designed to destroy ignorance and empower you to become an effective human on this planet, as you inspire others to reach their maximum potential. Let us join the seminar in progress.
Persecuted, but not forsaken.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, and praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hey, mighty men and mighty women of the Most High God, once again, what an honor and what a privilege it is to be able to come into your homes and your automobiles through this radio broadcast and share with you all the love of God. Well, I don't have no words for it, you know. All I can say, you know, is an honor and a privilege, you know, that God would point unto all of us. The Bible called it the golden scepter of righteousness. That signified that you and I can come boldly into the very presence of the Most High God. And listen, not only just come boldly into the presence of the Most High God, but come without any guilt or condemnation. To come boldly means, you know, hey, the rights to stand before the presence of a holy God. To come into his very company, to come into his very presence, into the presence of the Most High God. Well, sometimes we take the word of God for granted. But the Bible says, man, come boldly to the throne of God's grace and obtain mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Now, let me say it in plain and simple words. He said, come fellowship with me. Come hang out with me. You know, that's what this thing is all about. God just want to fellowship with his family, with his children. He just want to hang out with his children. He just want to walk and talk with his children, man, all through the day, every day, man, forever and ever and ever and ever. Just like he started off. And when he started off, he was walking and talking with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day, unbroken fellowship. No guilt, no shame, no condemnation, no bitterness, no strife, no envy, no racism, no none of this stuff that we have here on the earth today. It wasn't nothing like that. And boy, he was just walking and talking with his family, boy, and Adam and Eve in the cool of the day, unbroken fellowship. That's what he started off with. That's how he started off. That's what he wanted. That's what he always wanted. That's what he wanted from the very beginning, was to extend his governing influence of his territory, heaven, to another territory that he created, the earth, that he gave to you and I as our territory. The highest heavens belong to God. The earth is our territory. And what he wanted to be, he wanted to be in our territory just like it is in his territory. How we get it like that, Arthur? Through fellowshipping with him, through walking and talking with him in the cool of the day, through growing in the knowledge of him, through knowing him, through the ministry of his word, under the unctioning and the governing influence of the Holy Spirit, the third member of the Godhead. Everything is a means to that one end. That's the purpose for the Holy Ghost. So that, boy, you can be hooked back up to God. So that God can live in you, and you can live in him, and you can become one. That's how God started it all. And everything that he was doing in your Bible, excuse me, and through all the services and the rituals and the customs and the ceremonies and the sacrifices and the traditions, man, that has been passed down from generation to generation to generation is all a means to one end. For to get man what God started back in the earth again. How he get it back in the earth? By getting it back into the lives and hearts of his people. How he do that, boy? Through the ministry of his word, like I was telling you earlier. He used the foolishness of preaching. You know, the word preach means to publicly declare. So when we say we preaching, we it's the same thing as advertising. We publicly declaring a message. For what purpose? So that the consumer can get the product. That's what advertising is all about. They publicly declare a message. To who? To the consumers. For what purpose? So that the consumers, man, can get their product. That's what Jesus went about doing, man, publicly declaring a message. To who? To every man, every woman, and every boy, and every girl. What? That relationship that you lost in Adam, that Adam had with God in the Garden of Eden, man, before they ate out the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that life, that way of living, that way of thinking, that culture, that nature, those characteristics, he went by publicly declaring that that's my product, what? That's available to you again. That you can come past the gates of thanksgiving, past the course of praise, past the sanctuary, all the way into the very presence of the Most High God. Just like Adam and Eve was in the garden, man. And when God started this thing off. Everything in your Bible is a means to that end. That's why I come on here and tell you, you know, the Bible is about a king and his kingdom and his kids. And his governing program of extending the watch this, not a religion, but the extension of his governing influence of his territory in heaven. Listen carefully. The extension of the culture of heaven, the nature of heaven, the characteristics of heaven. Everything that heaven is and that's going on in heaven and what heaven is like and all that it consists of. His original idea is to extend that culture, that nature, that influence, that governing influence, not a religious influence, that governing influence of what? Of heaven. What heaven? His territory. The kingdom of heaven. To extend the governing influence of that territory to you and our territory, the earth. That's why when I say the Bible is about a kingdom, that's what I'm talking about. It's about a king establishing his kingdom, man, in the foreign territory, making earth a colony of heaven. You know, when a kingdom take over a territory and make it a colony, the same thing that's going on in the colony is what the king wants to go on in. The same thing that's going on, let me get it right. The same thing that's going on in the king's territory is the same thing he wants going on in the colony. That's why he take over the territory. He want to rule the territory. But you know what? He don't leave his territory. He sends people from his territory and a governor from his territory. Not like a governor like we know. You know, you don't know governor like in the kingdom. A governor in the kingdom is different from a governor in democracy. What did he do, Arthur? Well, he sent a governor, and he sent citizens from their territory to the colony. What's their responsibility, boy, to set up, boy, the territory that they come from, to set up that governing influence in the territory that they sent to? Hey, listen, did you know that you didn't fall from heaven? That's why the devil trying to get men through religion, trying to get you to heaven. That ain't what your Bible is all about. Bible ain't about God coming down here and trying to get earth to heaven. God is about extending heaven to earth. Hallelujah. He don't want you to spend everlasting life in eternity, man, in his territory. He wants you to spend everlasting life in eternity in our territory, the earth. There's going to be a colony of his territory, the heavens. For what purpose, Arthur? So it might be in our life here on earth, just like it is in heaven. Listen, that's what you've been praying all your life. But because of a lack of knowledge and understanding and wisdom, you see, our tradition and religion and all those things like that has made the word of God of none effect. So our religion and our tradition has more authority, man, and our sense, knowledge, reasonings has more authority, man, and supremacy over the word of God. And everything, boy, that what God is all about has been hid in the graveyard of religion. Why, Arthur? Because, boy, let me tell you something, boy. The last thing the devil ever wants you to come to the knowledge of is to hear what I'm saying. You know, man, listen. You know, man, you hearing, I'm going to step on out the boat. You might not like it. You know, man, you hearing all the other messages. As long as you don't know nothing about the kingdom of God. As long as you don't know about the gospel of the kingdom. You don't know about you hearing. You don't know. He don't care nothing about all the other messages that you hear. And all the other messages you hear ain't no bad message. They're good messages. That's the word of God. But boy, he don't want you to discover that treasure, glory to God, that he is well in the word of God. What's the treasure? It's the gospel of the kingdom. What's the gospel of the kingdom? That unbroken fellowship that mankind has been living in, man, ever since Adam, man, disobeyed God in the Garden of Eden and got separated from the presence of the Lord. The gospel of the kingdom is, boy, that was going on in Genesis chapter 1 and 2 before they ate out the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Boy, that's available to you. That life. That relationship with God. That's why I told you, boy, he said, come boldly. Your sin separated us from him so that we couldn't come boldly. But, boy, Jesus Christ, man, come and cleanse us up from all unrighteousness so that we can come boldly. Boldly well, boy, back into the Garden of Eden, back into the secret place of the Most High God, back under the shadow and of the Almighty, back to the promised land, back to the Garden of Eden, back to our original assignment and purpose. Well, by the power of the Holy Spirit, boy, allowing God through us, by the power of the Holy Spirit, to extend his governing influence to our territory called earth. How are you going to do that again, Arthur? Through fellowship with him. Through coming past the gates of thanksgiving and past the courts of praise and past our religious rituals and ceremonies and rites and sacrifices and traditions, past all of that, all the way into the very presence of the Most High God, behind the veil, into the presence of the Most High God, all the way to the throne of his grace. And do what, boys? Get something that will follow you all the days of your life, what, goodness and mercy. And boy, when you know that, man, and understand that, man, and learn how to apply that to our lives, you need to begin to be in our lives here on earth, just like it is in him. You know where that begin at? That don't begin on the earth. That begin in the earth. See, if you read your Bible carefully, the Greek word, when we say, our kingdom come and now we'll be done, it don't say on earth, it just say in earth. How? Just like it is in heaven. When? He said, now. He said, hand. It's available to you now. What? I say it again. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done. Well, on earth. How? Just like it is in heaven. When? Jesus said it's available to us now. That's what he came preaching 2,000 years ago. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's available to you now. I didn't come to get you and clean you up religiously. No, I come to restore back to you your dominion, your governing influence and power and authority. The main thing I come to do is get you cleansed up, man, so that you can be hooked back up to God. How, Arthur? That's what the Holy Spirit is. That's God living in you. When you receive the Holy Spirit, boy, you receive the Spirit of God on the inside of you. You receive the life of God. You receive the mind of God. You receive the not just a third member of the Godhead, boy, but you receive, man, the most important person on the earth, man. That's the one who get the job done. That's the one who finalized everything. Jesus never attributed none of those mighty works that he was doing. He never attributed none of those works to himself. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. We're not careful, boy. We want to shine. You ain't got to worry about shining, baby. You know, if the Spirit of the Lord upon us, man, then we won't shine. We have become, man, the light of the world. We won't just shine, man. We'll be the light of the world. Hallelujah. But, boy, I'm talking about, boy, bring illumination and knowledge and wisdom and understanding to what? To, boy, who you really are, who God really is, and what he really doing. Not what we doing for him, and what not us trying to appease him through our belief system, producing man customs and rites and rituals and ceremonies and sacrifices and man in time past, God spoke to us through the prophets and dealt with mankind like that. But boy, in this last day and time now that you're living in, man, he ain't listen, that's full of fear. The high priest ain't gonna have to go into the holies of holies once a year, every year, man, year after year after year after year after year to make the atonement or the sacrifice for the sins of the people. Man, leave Jesus Christ went into that place, man, once and for all. Cleanse you up from all unrighteousness. But what purpose, Arthur? So that you can come on past the gates of thanksgiving, past the course of praise, past the sanctuary, past the church service, past religious rituals and ceremonies, man. Listen, I ain't say throw the baby out with the bathwater. God in time past used that, but boy, in this day and time right now, boy, there's some things that's been restored. Not only, man, you know, we coming to the knowledge of the gospel of Jesus, that's the redemptive message of our Father in heaven. That's the redeeming work of God. That's the gospel of Jesus. But the man, the redeeming work of God is a means to an end. What? The restoration work of God. Not just what we've been redeemed from. What do you mean the redeeming work of God? Knowing that, boy, we saved by grace and Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins and Jesus opened blind eyes and Jesus unstopped death ears and Jesus went about doing good and casting out devils and Jesus rose from the dead. And all the things about Jesus, boy, that's the gospel of Jesus. Let me tell you something, that's a good news message. But boy, there's a greater message than that. Right. Not just the good news about Jesus and who he is and what he did, but the good news that he preached. That's what the devil don't ever want the church to come to the knowledge of. You don't mind, that's why I say you don't mind all the other messages. Listen, boy, all the other messages get us redeemed and get us saved. But you know, the majority of the church don't know what they saved for. They think they saved man so they can go and spend eternity in heaven with God. That ain't what he saved for. God didn't save us, man, to bring us to heaven. God saved us so that, man, we could do what he created us to do, what? Have dominion over this earth. Have power and control and influence over this earth. Impact this earth with the governing influence of God in our territory. How you going to do that? You got fellowship with him. You got to know him. You got to come past man just knowing of God and about God and know him. Because listen, you can come through the gates of Thanksgiving and still not man meet the king. You can come in through the courts of praise in the kingdom and still not meet the king. You can come into the man, you know, the palace and still not meet the king. But boy, when you go all the way to the throne room, glory to God. What is that, boy? That's a place of authority. That's where that's the king's presence. Glory to God. So you can come through the gates and Thanksgiving and everything else and still not know him. You can give him praise and everything else and still not know him. He ain't really got to know him to do that because he worried about praise anyway. Yeah, just praise him anyhow anyway. But boy, you can come all the way in church service and everything else and have good church service and everything else and still not know him. You can know of him and about him, but still not know him. Glory to God. Jesus Christ said, this is life eternal, that we might know him, who the only true and wise God, and Jesus Christ, who he sent, and the power, glory to God, that's available to us, boy, because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. See, all you know is Easter Sunday and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, but boy, you don't know that, man, that broke death power over all mankind's life. Death no longer has any authority over no man, no woman, no boy, no girl. Because, boy, I'm talking about Jesus Christ, man, stripped the devil, took the keys of death, hell, and the grave from the devil. Hallelujah. Lord, pray with the Lord. Hey, that's good news right there. That's what he did. But why he did that, man? Why he took the keys of death, hell, and grave? Why he died up on the cross? Why he rose from the grave? Why he came to this earth? Listen, that's more important than, man, you know, who he is and what he did. Who he is and what he did, man, is a means to us coming to the knowledge and understanding and the wisdom, the ability to apply that knowledge that we understand to our everyday life, man, is a means to that end, that the restoration work of God, what we've been restored back to. Like we said last week, you're not careful, you'll stop at the door. Jesus is the door. He ain't it. He the way to it. He ain't what this thing is all about. I'm going to say something here, and I know it ain't going to go over too good. You know, and during the Christmas holiday, you know, we be singing them songs, you know, Jesus is the reason for the season. That's true in a sense, but that ain't the real truth. The real truth is you the reason for the season. You and I, we the reason for the season. We the one who was dead and trespassing and sin. We the one who was lost. We the one who was sick and afflicted. We the one, man, who was under the bigger element of this world system, man, under the bondage and slavery of the devil himself, man, being tossed to and fro, man. All he had to do is dang a circumstance situation and send him, man. He was all right. He came down to this earth, man, to redeem you and I and to restore you and I back to, man, our original place that we fell from. We ain't far from heaven. God brought us down here from heaven. We originated in heaven. The Bible says in the book of Philippians, our citizenship is in heaven. You got dual citizenship. We come from heaven. But we come from heaven to the earth. For a purpose, argument. For what purpose, boy, so that it might be on earth just like it is in heaven. When it's all said and done, let me tell you something, that's what it's going to be. You know, your Bible says in the book of Revelation, in the first two chapters, is God, man, saying what he wanted and speaking it into existence. And the very fact that he spoke it is the indication, boy, that it's a done deed. He can't alter the words that have gone forth out of his mouth. If he said it, he's going to do it. If he spoke it, he's going to bring it to pass. He said, let's make man in our image and our likeness. If he said it, he's going to do it. Then he spoke it. He spoke it, boy, it's going to come to pass. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, the cattle, everything that creepeth upon the earth and over all the earth. Let them have kingship, rulership, dominion, power, governing authority, and influence and power over their territory, the earth. And let them be fruitful. And let them multiply. And let them subdue. And let them rule and reign. And let them make it on earth just like it is in heaven. Then the Bible says, then God bless them. That word bless them means God empowered them, put the potential on the inside of us. Listen, boy, to fulfill that God-given purpose and destiny. Listen, before a manufacturing man release a car to the market, before it gets to the showroom floor, it's already man built on the inside of it the potential to fulfill its purpose. I'm going to say that again, man. Before any product, man, merchandise, man, or electronic, before the product, the manufacturer release it to the market, man, this, it already have on the inside of it, man, the potential to fulfill its purpose. The very fact that it's here in the market is an indication that the manufacturer then built on the inside of it everything that it needs to fulfill its purpose and destiny. Listen, the very fact that we here is an indication, boy, that God has built on the inside of us everything that we have need of to fulfill that God-given destiny. What? Dominion over the earth, kingship over the earth, making it on earth just like it is in heaven. Everything that we have need of, it ain't over here, and it ain't over here, it ain't over there in the gold mine, it ain't in the diamond mine, it ain't in, man, millions of dollars, it ain't all that, man. It's on the inside of you and I. It's on the inside of us. Where the kingdom of heaven started, it started on the inside of us first. It started in our hearts, in our minds, in our spirit, in our soul, in our emotions, in our attitude, in our mindset, in our philosophy. What Arthur, what the king say? Because, boy, if you can get a king to speak to you, hey, that's why he wants you to come boldly to the throne of God's grace. Pass this radio broadcast, pass what mankind say. Listen, God never, it was never other than intention for him to speak to us through people. That's his permissive will. But even in that, man, the purpose for that is, man, to get mankind, man, to come on, the purpose for the fivefold ministry, is that we all come to the unity of the faith, to a stature of Christ, until we all look just like Christ, this body edifying itself, building itself up, becoming what God said about us from the beginning. What do you say? Let's make man in our image and our likeness, and let them have dominion, kingship, rulership, over what? Over territory that I'm giving to them, what the earth. For what purpose, Arthur? That, boy, through their fellowship and communion with me, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, then, boy, that's everything that they have need of to fulfill them. That's why I say God blessed them. See, what he did, he gave us him, the Father. He gave us, boy, the Son. That's the Word of God. And he gave us the Holy Spirit. That's the ability, man, and the life and the power of the Word of God to manifest that in our lives here on earth. That's why you heard me say earlier, none of those things that Jesus did, he never attributed none of those mighty works that he did to himself. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. What's the poor? Now, I ain't talking about any money. I'm talking about you can have $1 million and still be poor, $1 trillion and still be poor. I'm talking about those who are poor in spirit. What good it is to gain the whole world and then die and go to hell? That ain't too smart to me. When you can, man, gain the whole world and then live, man, forever and ever and ever in heaven on earth. What are you saying, Arthur? Boy, I'm saying, boy, if the king said it, he's going to do it. And if he spoke it, he's going to come to pass. And what are you saying? He blessed them. He empowered them with everything that they had need. He built on the inside of us, boy, everything that we had need of to fulfill our God-given destiny. Where's that argument? It's already on the inside of you. You just have to discover that king in you, that ruler in you, that mighty man, that mighty woman of God in you. That mighty man and that mighty woman of God that can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthened us. That mighty man and that mighty woman of God that can come boldly all the way, man, behind the veil into the very presence of the Most High God without any sense of guilt or condemnation. Why? Because you're coming to obtain mercy and find grace to help you in your time of need. You're coming, man, to worship the King. You're coming to fellowship, boy, with the King. Kings worshiping the kings. Kings and queens, rulers worshiping the ruler. Glory to God. fellowshipping with the ruler, hanging out with the ruler, walking and talking, man, with the ruler. Little kings, man, fellowshipping with the king. You know the Bible says in the book of Corinthians, man, at the end of the first chapter, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, I know it's in, it say, now, brother, and he say, listen, it is the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit. What it is, Arthur? It's the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ that enables us to come on into the kingdom. And what caused that grace, man, that enabled us? That's the love of the Father. For who? For his family of sons called mankind. God so loved the world that he sent his son. What was his son full of? The Bible says in the book of John chapter 1, verse 12 through 14, he say he was full of grace. First say, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory as the only begotten of the Father. And he said he was full of what? Grace and truth. Grace and reality are what this thing is all about. He said, listen, boy, when he says the truth, he is not talking about true or false. He said, I'm the reality of what this thing is all about. I didn't come just with enticing words. I'm the reality of it. I show you got more power than all the power of the devil. They crucified him and he got up. Nobody, the devil don't ever want you to find out that you was crucified with him. And that boy, let me tell you something. When he went down to the pit of hell and stripped Satan of all his power, you was with him. And when he rose from the dead, you was with him. The Bible says we were crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, we live, yet it's not us, but it's Christ who lives on the inside of us now. What, boy? Hallelujah. What? Just like he was raised from the dead, boy, it's to show you and I what's going to happen to you, man, that death don't have no power over you either. So you think that's just for Jesus? No, everything that Jesus Christ was doing upon this earth, man, from his coming, man, all the way to his resurrection and to what he's doing right now, man, is to show you and I us. It's going to show you and I, like I told you earlier, you know, who you really are. Who you really are. You're more than just a human being. You're the son of the Most High God. You're the offspring of the Most High God. You're the child of the Most High God. I'm talking about the creator of the universe, Elohim, all the names that you're given, Jehovah, Yahweh, all the names that you're given, man. You his offspring. You spring off from him. You're a masterpiece because you're a piece of the master. Same character, same nature as him. Same functioning ability as him. Why? Because you sprung off from him. You're his offspring. That's sons. Some of us in male body, some of us in female body. That's why I say, hey, mighty men and mighty women of the Most High God. All of us are sons. That's what Jesus Christ come to reveal to him who he is. That's what he said. Who men say I am? Peter said, thou art the Christ. That's the reigning king, the son of the Most High God. Who? You ain't no prophet. You ain't no religious man. You can prophesy, you can preach, and you can pastor, you can do all those things, but that ain't who you are. That ain't what you're coming for. You know that, man. You know if you read your Bible, most Christians don't read the Bible. But let me help you. Jesus never did join the religious order of this day and time. He never did join the Herodians, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes. The scribe was like in our day and time, scribe was like Bible college, theologians, professors, PhDs. All the ones got the name behind them, doctorate degree, PhD, professor it is, and doctorate is, and all that, you know. Then you got the Pharisees and the Sadducees. You know, they're just like, man, you know, the Catholic and the Christians and all the denominations that we come upon. They had all that back in those days. They get different names. And Jesus never joined none one of them. But boy, he never did, man, come up under their belief system. And he was born in the, under the law and the prophets. But he never joined their church. He never joined their, in other words, he never joined their philosophy. He never became a part of their school of thought. Why? Because he came to bring man something totally different. But boy, one day, boy, he was, his cousin John the Baptist was conducting the baptismal service, man, and baptizing, man, people into his school of thought, into his ideology, into what his belief system was. And when, boy, Jesus came, boy, and went and joined that ministry. What was John the Baptist mean? John the Baptist was the last prophet that God prophesied about in Malachi, where he said, boy, there's coming one before my face, man, that's going to, man, announce me. Man, my coming. He's going to be the herald. Hallelujah. And boy, when John the, and in Matthew chapter 3, this was John the Baptist message, boy, when he was baptized. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Hello. See, the law and the prophet, man, was prophesying, boy, live this way here, man, because the kingdom of heaven is coming. John the Baptist was preaching, man, listen, change your whole way of living. Prepare to change. What? Prepare to change your whole philosophy, your whole way of living, your whole ideology, all your religious rituals and ceremony and everything else, man, that you've been practicing and doing, man, in preparation for the coming of the king. Be prepared. That's what repent means. Change your way of thinking. From the way we've been thinking, man, and everything else, be prepared to change your whole way of thinking. Why? Because, boy, a whole new way of living and a whole new system of operation and a whole new pattern of operation and a whole new world and a whole new governance system, man, is at hand. What governance system is there? What way of there? What pattern of life is there? All of the kingdom of hell. That lifestyle, that abundant life, that way of living. Not the kingdom of the world that you've been born and conditioned and trained to live under and according to, but a whole new, the original kingdom that God set up on the earth, where he placed Adam and Eve at in the cool of the day in the Garden of Eden, the presence of the Lord. A little atmosphere and environment, man, that was conducive, man, to the atmosphere and environment that's in heaven, in the throne room, in the Garden of Eden that's in heaven. At the mouth of God, in the presence of the Most High God. Glory to God. What do you say, boy? This, that's among you. It ain't in the sweet by and by. And boy, Jesus Christ, man, and went and came up under that school of thought and that ministry. And he was baptized under that ministry. And he joined that ministry. And boy, when John saw him coming, John said, behold, the Lamb of God, who taketh away the sins of the world. Glory to God. Hello. For what purpose, Arthur? Well, he don't just only take away the sins of the world, but that's a means to an end. What end, Arthur? So that, man, you know, because our sin is what separated us from the presence of the Lord. Our sin is what got us put out of the Garden of Eden and separated from the Holy Spirit and lost our dominion in everything else. But what? Behold, the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world. For what purpose, Arthur? So that we can be reconciled. Glory to God. What you mean, Arthur, reconciled? That's not a word, that's a grammatical construct. It comes from a word, concile, and it comes from a prefix, re. Re means to go back to the original state, you know, to go back. You know, concile is where we get our word consolidate from. Concile means to make one. To make, man, to do like you do when you consolidate your bills. You know, you take all your bills and you make them all one bill. And now instead of having all them different notes, you just got one note. What you did, you consolidated, consoled. You made all of them one. What Jesus did, he come and reconciled us. We once was one before Adam sinned. We once was walking and talking with God in the cool of the day in Adam. Before they sin. We once was, man, holy and without blame. We once was, man, you know, man, on our way to our destination, man, without any sense of guilt or condemnation. We once was one with God and one with the Holy Spirit and in the presence of God and on our way to our destination. We once was one, but we got separated. Lord Jesus Christ, come, boys, reconcile us. For what purpose are the sins of the world, so that we could come back into the presence of the Most High God, so that we could become man once again, one with the Father, so that he can live in us, that we can mend, that we can be one, one faith, one Lord, one God, one baptism, one kingdom, one destiny, one purpose, one assignment. But not in one accord, but with one accord. They're not just talking about, because, see, you can have a group and they can all be in one accord, but I'm talking about not in one accord, but I'm talking about, I'm not just talking about in one accord, but I'm talking about bringing that one accord that we all is in, bringing it in one accord, with one accord, to what God is doing. So you can be in one accord and be totally, man, you know, out of accord. The Bible say they was with one accord. They were with what God was doing. They were with what Jesus had instructed them. They was with, man, you know, his commission. They wasn't trying to get Jesus in on what they was doing. They made mention of a few times, you know, when they walk and talk, you know, but, man, they come to the knowledge of, man, this ain't about us. This is about what he's doing for us. This ain't about what we can do for him. Because what we can do for him is about us coming to the knowledge of what he done for us. And when we find out what he done for us, then, boy, what we can do for him, man, will be the right concept, then. It won't be us. It'll be the Father that do it to work through us. Like I said earlier, it's the love of the Father, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit. That's what the Holy Spirit again is for, to make us one again with God. In our thinking first, in our mindset first. That's why the first thing Jesus said when he begun his public ministry, he said the same thing John the Baptist was preaching, what? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. All the other religious orders of this day and time, this is what they was preaching. Hey, listen, obey the law of Moses, and boy, there's coming a Messiah. And he's going to build up a kingdom, man, you know, and that kingdom ain't going to be like the kingdom of David, and that government ain't going to be no end. And boy, I'm done, my boy, he's going to overthrow the Roman Empire, and boy, I'm done, my boy, we're going to establish it, and we're going to reign, and they're looking for him to come in and set up some kind of religious regime that would overthrow the Roman Empire. He came as a sheep with blood in his throat. They're looking for a mighty king to be born, man, in a great palace and everything else. He was born, man, in a manger. He was born in a stable, in a barn, and laid in a manger. He didn't come to fix this world system, man. He come to set up a whole different world system, the original world system that God set up on the earth. This system here that we live in right now, boy, it seems good and everything else, but the end leads to destruction. I don't care how much good you got in this world. You got a lot of good in this world, but the end leads to destruction. Why? Because, boy, in the last two chapters of the book of the Bible, man, the writer said this, and behold, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. This is after the devil and the false prophet and the Antichrist and everything else, man, is cast into the lake of fire. This is the finished product here. This when it's all said and done. This when, man, I'm talking about the last song, the last sermon preached, the last soul saved, God come back, man, you know, and all the Armageddon, all that's done with, man, and everything else, and, man, the devil, the false prophet, the Antichrist, and all those that's persuaded to go with him, man, joining the line with him, cast into the lake of fire, that no more sin, no more devil, no more demons, man. Then the Bible said, then behold, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. And I saw the holy city. Who is that? That's Jerusalem. Who is that? That's all God's children. That's all of us. I ain't listening. Don't never say I ain't. I don't never want you to think I ain't say you ain't going to heaven. I say that's not where you're going to spend eternity. You're going to spend eternity in heaven, but it ain't going to be in God's territory. It's going to be in heaven on earth. That's what Revelation chapter 21 say. And I saw a new heaven, and I saw a new earth, and I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, doing what? Coming down from heaven. And we shall reign on the earth forever. Glory to God. And the dwelling place of God was with the sons of man. Let me tell you what I just said. And it was on earth, the new heaven and the new earth, it was on earth just like it is in heaven. And all God's family and sons, boy, that they went up to heaven, man, you know, boy, when they died and everything else, got their resurrected bodies, the incorruptible, indestructible, not immortal bodies, body that'll never get sick, never die, and everything, coming down to the earth, a new earth. And we're going to reign on the earth forever and ever and ever. They're going to be on earth just like it is in heaven forever and ever and ever. And the dwelling place of God was with the sons of man. It finished off just like Genesis 1 and 2 started off. Revelation 21 and 22 is the finished product. It's on earth just like it is in heaven. And we're reigning forever and ever and ever and ever. That's the destination. When it's all said and done, that's where you're going to end up at. And let me tell you something. You ain't got to try to make it there, man. The Bible says, come you who are blessed of your Father and get your inheritance. That's what he's going to say. That was prepared for you even before the foundation of the world, even before Adam and them lost it and everything else. That's already yours. That was already his original intent. That was already, man, in his mind, in his heart, even before he spoke it. I tell you, boy, that was his original idea. I find out something, boy. If you go back to the basis, man, all the complicated men will become simple. They're going to take some water on that seed, but I just plant that seed in your life. If you get back to the basis, what's the basis? The precepts of God. What was his original intent, his original idea? What was in his mind? Just like I say, everything starts with an idea. This radio broadcast, that was an idea first. That radio station, that was an idea first. Having church and going to church, man, that was an idea first. Everything began with an idea. What's an idea? The original thought that was in the mind of the maker. And listen, the only way to express that thought is through words. So if you understand what God's original idea was, then when he spoke, you can understand what his word means. You can understand the concepts, and you have the right concepts. You have the right pictured idea. See, most Christians picture this, man, going to heaven, man, and trying to make it in and climbing up on the rough side of the mountain. I'll fly away, you know. And no, that's the wrong concept. That's not the big pitch. The big pitch is not for us to climb on the rough side of the mountain. The big pitch is for us to speak to the mountains and command the mountains there with the problem. I don't care how big they might be. That might be in our lives. I don't care what the adversity might be. It don't matter what it might be. Even if it's mankind's greatest enemy, death. That's why Jesus said, death, where is your sting? And where is your victory? That's what Paul said. Why, boy, let me tell you something, boy. You swallowed up with everlasting life. I found the answer to death. What's the answer to death? Everlasting life. Listen, if you got everlasting life, how you ever going to die? Bible says, whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. That's a gift from God. I mean, how many gifts, man, of God that's still left up under the Christmas tree? And you're just celebrating the pagan holiday out of the... And you get all the gifts that we give from one another from under the tree, but the main gift that God gave us on Christmas, believe those gifts, man, still wrapped under the tree. And it's still yours. Because he ain't no Indian gift. Just a lot of people ain't never unwrapped their gifts. A lot of people ain't never got their gifts from under the tree. And then the ones who got the gift from under the tree, a lot of them got it, but they ain't unwrapped it. They ain't looked into it. They ain't see, man, and have understanding and knowledge of what all that's contained in the box, in the gift. They have it, but they don't even know what's in the box. They just had it. They got it from under the tree. They received Jesus Christ into their life, but they just stopped at the door. They saved. They're going to go to heaven and got everlasting life, but they're living and dying like mere men and mere women with all the time, boy. They the congregation of the mighty. The offsprings of God, the children of God, the little G, not capital G, little G gods, little children of God. That's why I say mighty man and mighty woman God. There ain't no cliche. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says in the book of, I think it's Psalms 82, it says, man, behold, God standing in the congregation of the mighty. Who is the congregation of the mighty? That's us. How long will you judge unjustly? How long will you keep living and dying like mere men and mere women and living, man, far below your rights and privileges? And all the time, man, you are God's, little G, and you are the children of the Most High God. That's what your word say about you. But you're living and dying like mere men and mere women. Why? Fulfilling the man of prophecy that the prophet prophesied was. Hosea, my people are being destroyed for a lack of knowledge. That's why I told you, boy, the devil don't ever want you to hear the gospel of the kingdom and what you've been restored back to and what belonged to you. Listen, healing is the children's bread. Before I close this broadcast out, let me tell you something, man, about Jesus. I mean, we're going to take it to another level because we only just begun. We're just in the introduction of it. Man, we're going on behind the veil and not only behind the veil, but we're going behind the door and give us all in the kingdom of God for us. Right now, we just in the introduction of it, man. Majority of the church don't even know nothing about the kingdom of God. Well, matter of fact, I might as well say it. Majority of pastors and preachers and bishops and everything else in the church, leaders, religious leaders in the church, theology and theologians and Bible college and everything else don't know too much about the kingdom of God. They don't know about that mess. Why? Because it's been hid. And it's hidden. It's not been hidden from us. It's been hidden for us. For what purpose, Arthur? For such a time as this. The Bible says, who knows where you're coming to the kingdom for such a time as this? It says, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world. What gospel, boy? This good news that I'm telling you. What good news that you're telling me, Arthur? That you can come all the way into the presence of the Most High God, man, and through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, get cleansed from all your sins so that we can be reconciled back to God. So that you can start your relationship off with God, not from afar, not worshiping him from afar, but start your relationship off with God from his very presence, in his very presence. And let me tell you something, boy, when you can go before a holy God without any sense of guilt and condemnation, man, then you can go boldly in. That's what righteousness gives you. That's why it's so important for you, man, you know, to understand those words where it say, but he who knew no sin, who? Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. God made him to be sin so that you and I might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. What? He who knew no sin, Jesus, took our sins and bore our sins. and carried our sins in his body on the tree and took his righteousness. How righteous is Jesus? He took our sins. God took our sins and placed it upon Jesus, took Jesus' righteousness and placed it upon us, made us righteous. All you got to do is believe it, receive it, and begin to walk it out, begin to walk in the reality of it. Instead of trying to get righteous, man, awake to righteous, awake to the fact that you are as righteous as you ever going to get, and then start living that way, little by little by little by little. See, we do it backwards. We try to, man, live, man, right to get righteous. No, you live right, and you live holy, and you live good, and you come off and sin, not because you're trying to get righteous or you're trying to get saved. You do that because you are righteous. You are saved. See, we're not careful. We're trying to do it backwards. That's appeasing the deity. That's through our works. For the Bible says, for by grace are we saved, through faith. And that's not of ourselves. That's a gift from God. Lest we would boast about it. So everything, man, you know, like I told you, is gifts from God. What I want to do on this radio broadcast, man, is because most of you, man, who listen to Christian radio, man, you received the gift. You received Jesus Christ. But that's for as most of us have gotten. You don't have no, you got to go on and receive the end of your salvation, which is the salvation of your soul. That's why Jesus say repent. Why? You got to change your whole way of thinking, man. You got to become a student of, not just a member of a church. That's all right. But, man, you got to become, man, a disciple of Christ. What? A student of the word. But somebody who's going after the word, who want to know the truth, who's saying, Lord, you know, hey, thy kingdom come and thy will be done in my life. Not my kingdom and not my will, Lord, and not what I want, Lord, and not give me this and give me that and everything else. No, Lord, give me everything that I have need of, man, to accomplish, man, your kingdom and the kingdom of heaven in my life here on earth. Give me everything I have need of, man, to fulfill your purpose and your destiny for my life. Give me every day on a daily basis my daily bread, man, to be that mighty man and mighty woman of God that you say I am. Give me, if I need health, if I need whatever I need, man, give me everything that I have need of, spirit, soul, and physical. Spiritual needs, physical needs, emotional needs, social needs, financial needs, health needs, everything that I have need of on a daily basis to fulfill, boy, your kingdom coming and your will being done in my life here on earth. As it is in heaven, why inspire others in the same way? Say, listen, God love us, and he love us more than we can even fathom. And boy, listen, Jesus got close with this. Jesus Christ, the Bible says in the book of Matthew chapter 5, after he said Jesus Christ began to preach and say, repent for the kingdom of heaven of God is at hand. Then the next chapter, he said he went about doing good, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all those who was oppressed of the devil. Hey, listen, man, this word here is not just enticing words of man wisdom, but in demonstration and power. He preached the kingdom of God, and he healed all those who were afflicted or sick. Hey, I come on here and I preach the kingdom of God, and God is instructing me. He said, listen, don't just preach the kingdom of God, but speak healing, man, to all of those who are out there on the sound of my voice. All of you who might be afflicted in your body, diseased in your body, whatever your problem might be, whether it's physical, emotionally, socially, mentally, physically, spiritually, whatever area of your life that's that disease or the devil is afflicting, man, I come on this radio broadcast to tell you that you are free. And who the Son set free is free indeed. That you can be loosed from that infirmity, that all of us who the enemy, who he had desired to have and sift us like we, Jesus Christ has prayed for us that our faith fail not. Fail not in what? In that we preach the work that he did, but let our faith fail not in the work that he did. What he did, he went about doing good, destroying the works of the devil, and healing all those who were oppressed of the devil. One place in the Bible, man, one man said, Lord, you don't even have to come up under my house. You don't even have to lay no hands on me or touch me or put no oil on me. All you got to do is just speak the word. And I know of my servant to be healed. Boy, that's why I come on this radio broadcast as I close it, to speak the word, to send the word of God to your life, to wherever you are in your home, to your circumstance, situation, and center. And I send the word of victory. I send the word of healing. I send the word of peace. I send the word of righteousness. I send the word of holiness. I send the word of everlasting life. I send the gospel of the kingdom, man, into your life. I send God's word in your life. And the Bible says you send his word, and his word healed us. Therefore, I decree and declare that every sickness, every disease, every germ, every virus, every cell, cancer, cell, every malfunction that touch our bodies, man, we are redeemed from the curse of the law. And that's under the curse of the law. Therefore, I speak healing.